Atlanta-based sleaze rockers Kickin' Valentina is probably a band that you would least expect to hear me interviewing. I'll admit it, I wasn't a fan of theirs, and we've had our share of keyboard wars, and trust me, if they could have punched me through the internet, they would have. So why talk about them now? Well, Kickin' Valentina parted ways with their vocalist Joe Edwards, who has since been replaced by new dude DK Ravel. After hearing clips of the band with this new vocalist, I all of a sudden found myself interested, digging it, and even looking forward to what these guys would bring to the table with this new vocalist. That being said, peace, you know, was made between us, thankfully, because they outnumbered me. Kickin' Valentina will be appearing on the second day of the Rocklanta Festival, which takes place on March 29th and 30th, alongside with Dangerous Toys, Tora Tora, Roxy Blue, and a handful of other incredible acts. And so with that, I'd like to welcome bassist Chris Taylor to Talkin' the Talk. So Chris, welcome aboard, buddy.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me on here.
Well, I'm super excited to have you on, and you know, it's no secret. We have a history.
Yes, we do. Yes, it was very public and very traumatic for a little while.
It was a very It was a very public and very dramatic kind of, you know, exchange, war of words. Yeah. And again, you know, much like my hero Lester Bangs, it was a prime example of why sometimes people who have, you know, mental health issues should not be rock writers. But, you know, with that being said, I have addressed my mental health over the past few years, which is something that a lot of people, you know, sweep under the rug. But as you know, with artistic people, that does tend to be a thing. And
yes,
a lot of that, I think, kind of spewed from that kind of obsessiveness and stuff that I had. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
now that you're on medication, I don't want to punch you in the mouth when I see you. Ooh, yeah. You and I have had conversations about this before.
Yeah.
Where I don't, everybody has an opinion.
Oh, yeah.
About music or, you know, art or whatever. And it's their opinion, and that's fine. And if they don't like my band, I can't help that. And I can't, like, focus on that because not everybody's going to like what I do.
And, exactly. Yeah.
You know, and that's all good. That's all good. You know, like, diversity is what makes the world interesting. But when you get attacked for it, you're like, that doesn't make sense.
You know, I didn't realize the depth of my issues as far as being like, you know, slightly bipolar and having obsessive tendencies and things like that, that like all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, but if I go on meds, am I going to lose my edge as a writer? Well, guess what? You don't, you know, because I'm still an opinionated asshole and people still hate me, but it's that, but I don't mind being hated for my opinions because they're my opinions.
Trust me when I say we've had our share of bad reviews. So I can deal with those. They don't matter. Sometimes they're so funny and we laugh at them. And then we have people that just like love what we do. And you've got the other side that just absolutely hates you. And, you know, when you put yourself out there, you have to be able to accept it and just not really acknowledge it. You know, it doesn't, you know, it is what it is. I think what like annoyed me the most about you really was we were civil to each other, you know, when we would see each other out and about, and then sometimes in just, you know, emails or what, comments on Facebook or whatever, whatever the case may be. And I ignored, you know, a lot of the stuff that you said, like when you would publish it on your website or whatever, because, you know, that's your site. And, you know, I sent you the music for you to review and you gave your opinion. And you know, so be it. So, it's like the final straw for me was like when you brought us up in a review for a show that we didn't even play. And I was like
a name dropped you in.
Yeah. It was like, oh, at least I didn't have to sit through Kickin' Valentina this time. And I'm like, what the fuck is this dude's problem with? He has got a hard on for like shit talking us. So I sent you a message one day, like, dude, what the fuck's your problem, man?
Because
I think I had just seen you. I remember that it was the second time Dora Pesh came through town, played with Dora at the Masquerade, and then she came back through another time when we didn't open. And you did a review of that other show, and you're like, oh, at least I didn't have to sit through Kickin' Valentina this time. And I'm like, dude, fuck off, man. Then I just sent you a message, and then I guess you were just having, like, it just set you off, and you just had a bad day, and you did this open letter thing to me, and just completely, like, ripped me a new asshole. And I usually don't like respond. Usually I don't respond, but there's just something about that. I don't know if I was having a bad day that day or something too, but I don't know. But anyway,
once I got past the whole just like, you know, again, poking the bear, and like my wife would actually, I remember one time, I think it was after one of your comments back to me, mm-hmm. my wife came, we were having dinner, and she goes, do I need to be worried about you? Like, there's like more of them than there are you. So like, yeah. She was like, I'll be honest, a part of me gets scared when you go to shows. Like, you know,
that's funny.
But you know, the thing was that like, when I really stepped back and I reflected and I listened to you know, to Kickin' Valentina, and I listened to the songs, and yeah. And I just, yeah, I could not put my finger on it. I was like, you know, it was like, it was really weird. It was like, I loved you guys as guys, you know, like, I always thought you were super great. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to butcher your guitar player's name. Is it
Heber?
Heber. Okay. That's what I was going to call
everybody
him.
Everybody butchers his name. It's all right.
I'm sure he gets tired of being called Herbert. But anyway, but Heber, you know, like, he's always been nothing but sweet to me. You know? Jimmy's mm-hmm. been great, you know? And so mm-hmm. it's like, but it's like, I hated the idea of that, like, these guys were great guys, but then, like, mm-hmm. I didn't like them. And I was like, what was it?
Yeah.
It wasn't until I heard you with DK that it made me realize, dude, their fucking mm-hmm. singer was what was killing it for me. And even in the live show, because, you know, I remember one of my I went back and I read some of my reviews of you guys, and I remember saying that he did the glam rock river dance, you know, mm-hmm. thing on stage, and I was like, I hate that. That's so stupid. Why is he doing? But like, it totally like took away from everything else that was going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so with that being said, I was really happy and excited to hear the singer.
You and I had this had talk about this one time too, and I think it was a while back. The one thing that we loved about Joe. Well, he has a great voice and all of that.
Oh, he was an amazing singer.
He's a great singer. He's a good songwriter and all that sort of stuff. But he didn't take the approach of everything, whether it was image or his approach to writing or anything like that. You know, just even just the way he moved on stage and just his whole thing that he had going on. He wasn't like a cliche stereotypical like rock singer, you know, and he had a little quirkiness up to him with some of, you know, some things that he would do, and I don't say that in a negative way,
right?
You know, that we liked, and we thought it kind of was a little bit different, and that we thought was cool. So, and some people loved it and some people didn't get it, and that's okay. You know, some people love what we do and some people don't get it. And that's okay too, you know. So I don't know, man. It's just, you know, we liked what he brought to the band, and you know, ultimately it just all didn't work out, and that's you know, that's fine.
Well, so what
we are where we're at right now.
Well, so what is DK bringing to the band? Because I do know that you guys went through a pretty, you know, extensive audition process. Mm-hmm. What was it that he brought that was so different that you were like, that's our dude?
Man, the thing, we had known, if we're going to go way, like, way back, this is way before, I was the last one to join KV.
Okay.
So Heber and Jimmy actually originally put the band together. And they were just talking to singers from everywhere. And DK was actually one of the first singers that they called.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, and at the time, I think he was in a band or had just left a band called Beautifully Demolished.
Okay.
And he just wasn't interested. And because you have, you know, put it in perspective, it's just Jimmy and Heber trying to form a band.
Right.
you know.
Yeah.
So they hadn't really done anything. And he just wasn't really interested in doing it because there was, he's like, I'm not going to fly, because he lives in California. So he's like, I'm not going to fly back and forth for something that may not even like really work out.
To
so
play in a band from Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, what the fuck have you guys done? Whatever. So anyway, you know, fast forward, they found, you know, they find Joe, and then I joined the band. And I, you know, I had heard of DK because he was in Jet Boy for about a year and a half, maybe, like just a little period when Mickey left. And so I'd heard of his name just through that, and I'd heard of his other band, Beautifully Demolished.
Right.
I didn't know him or anything. And so when Joe left, we were just like, okay, who do we know? Like, what, you know, who's in other bands that we know that we like? Who did you guys talk to? Like, you know, all of this sort of stuff. And
right,
you know, then we had another guy, Brian, for he was with the band, you know, for a couple months, did a, like 2 weekends worth of shows with us, and it just didn't work out. And then, you know, Jimmy was like, you know, what do you guys think about DK? Because we, you know, I talked to him way back. And so we just kind of listened to his music, and he's got, you know, he had the, the voice was there. You know, we thought he had he looked cool and he had experience, you know, he had toured and,
right,
and all that sort of stuff. So we're like, all right, cool. Because, you know, we aren't a full-time touring band, because it's like, you know, we just kind of do stuff that kind of makes sense for us. But even everybody at this point in every, you know, in our lives can just go out and do that. And, you know, DK was like hardcore. He's like, dude, this is what I do. You know, mm-hmm. You guys have, you know, he said, he remembered talking to Jimmy. He's like, you know, since then you guys have done this, 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 and this. And, you know, that's impressive. So he came out and we jammed and we wrote and everything clicked, man. For us, it's a lot of, you know, we want the talent. We want somebody who gets what we're doing, and we wanted somebody that we got along with, because that's very important to us, is that, because you spend a lot of hours in a van, so you got to be able to like them and joke with them and enjoy hanging out with them and all that sort of stuff. So, and you got to be able to write well together. And I mean, you're a musician, you know how, you know all that stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean,
so when we spent time with DK, it just clicked, you know. And we thought, you know, he kind of brings a little bit, like a lot of the newer stuff that we're writing is a little bit heavier, and it's very different than, like, you know, what our Super Atomic record was. And mm-hmm. you know, we've just evolved as a band. You know, we've been together for about 6 years now, and you know, some of the early stuff, you know, some of it was written before I even joined, and it was like some of the first songs, and they just, you know, got written and recorded, and a lot of that stuff we don't even play anymore. So we've just evolved as a band, and some of the stuff's a little heavier now. It's still hard rock, but you know, it's we like what he's bringing in. He plays guitar, and you know, he can like bring song ideas into the band now, so we like that.
Well, I love that, because one of the things that I've been keeping my eye out on you guys, anyway, is that what I've noticed too is I've noticed that since the addition of DK2 that the image, the overall like image, has mm-hmm. kind of toned down a bit,
yeah,
to kind of reflect this harder edge, which mm-hmm. I think is such a cool thing, because the only thing I can really like describe it to was like the difference between Skid Row's debut and then mm-hmm. Slave to the Grind. Like, good fucking God, man. I couldn't believe the same band that was singing Mud Kicker was the same band that was singing I Remember You. You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. So it's like, uh-huh. I really welcome that kind of thing and that kind of expansion and growth, because, you know, as you know, like, I do this, even though I'm a writer, like, I do this because I'm a music fan. So as a music fan, I love nothing more than to be proven wrong by bands that, let's say, like, I didn't like your other albums, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But goddamn, man, if you put one out, like, I'm still gonna listen to it. And I'm gonna and I'm gonna give it an honest ear. And damn it, I want you to blow my mind, you know? And so I think that's great that you've got this level of confidence going, you know, that goes along with this change, that goes along with the new songs. And, well, speaking of the new songs, though, so you guys are going to be doing the Rocklanta Festival. Are we going to get to hear any of the new material and, or, you know, and see what it's like, how it goes down? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know how many we're going to play yet. Maybe two or three new ones. I'm not sure. We got to figure all of that out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we got a bunch of new ideas. And, you know, so there's going to be definitely be new songs in the set. So
I can't believe it. Like I was looking at this at the lineup for that night of the festival, and I'm going like seriously. Like it was cool enough that I saw Dangerous Toys and I was at that legendary Dangerous Toys and Junkyard show at Center Stage. You know, back in that 90.
Oh, but, that would have been awesome.
Oh my God! Well, I just interviewed Jason McMaster, and he was like, are you sure that was at Center Stage? I was like, dude, I run into people at almost every show. And if I hear someone mention Dangerous Toys, I go, were you at the Center Stage show? And they go, fuck yeah. You know, so it's like, but like when I'm looking at this lineup, I'm thinking like, good God, man. It's like, you guys are on the bill with Tora Tora, Roxy Blue, Dangerous Toys, Lillian Axe. I mean, dude, that bill would have made me come when I was like, 18,
And when we were like 18, 19, 20 years old, and absolutely. And, you know, a lot of those bands, I still love Dangerous Toys. You know, we played with them in Austin last year, and they still fucking kill it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've seen, you know, we've done some like little festival type stuff with Tora Tora, and, you know, they're a great band. Their new stuff is good. And, yeah, it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a good time.
So one of the things I always wanted to kind of ask, because we're pretty close in age, and much like you guys, like, you know, I'm one of these guys. So I'm 45. So
I'm not telling you my age, but okay.
you look, dude, I'm always going to say this. You look great for 70. But anyway.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's not a secret. We're not fucking 30 years old. It's not a secret. I'm trying to hide it.
But what I do love about that is because, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, again, I always find admirable is that guys our age can still put together a band and say, you know what? Like, I'm not done yet. I'm going to play the music that I love on my own terms, regardless. And so with that being said, like, has there been some challenges being that the fact that you guys are kind of, and again, not to sound ageist, but that you guys older guys kind of coming into the scene as a new band?
I think there has, you know, there has and there hasn't. You know, kind of to touch on what you were mentioning earlier, it's like all of us have been playing music our whole fucking lives. You know, we've taken breaks and stuff in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We just get burned out and you just need to walk away from it. And that's kind of where I was when I joined KV. Like after my last band, I was done. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I was almost like just fucking jaded and bitter about it. And I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Which, by the way, was that Rockets to Ruin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was actually a Rockets to Ruin fan. I was definitely a Rockets to Ruin fan.
That was a good time. It was a crazy time. I was fucking drinking like a fish during that band, and, you know, just a lot of crazy things happened during that time of my life. Mm-hmm. You know? But
enough to burn you out.
exactly. Burned me out, put me in fucking to see a damn substance abuse therapist when I came out of it. So,
oh man.
Welcome
to the club, buddy. Mental health here, buddy.
Hey, I've been sober, man, for a little over 5 years. So
that's fucking great, man. Congratulations.
So, thank you. But anyway, we, when Yeah, Jimmy called me up to come and play with them, and I was like, I don't know, I don't know, and I didn't really want to do it. And I went down and jammed with them. Everything was cool. I liked the music, and I was, because he told me, he originally asked me. He's like, "Yeah, man, me and this guitar player," kind of the same situation with that he had with DK. "Yeah, dude, me and this guitar player are looking for a band, and we're, wanting to do something like this, this, and this." And I'm like, "Okay, well, you guys have, good luck with that one." I was like, because I know like almost all the music, rock musicians in this city, and you're not going to find a singer that can fucking do that. And I was like, you guys, you get a full band together, dude, and just call me. And then, a year or so later, year and a half later, whatever it was, he sends me a message. "Hey, man, we found a singer." And so I go down. I was like, "Huh, okay. This is cool,"
Right.
And we just kind of had the attitude of, we aren't like trying to reinvent the wheel. We want to do something, we aren't going to try and play modern rock. We're not going to try and sound like whatever new band is out there, the new thing that's kind of going or whatever it may be.
Right.
We just want to play music that we like. We just want to get in a room and write songs, go out and play some shows, and wherever it goes, it goes. And that was kind of our attitude with it. And, like anything you do in life, you have goals that you want to do. We wanted to, initially, I think, maybe Heber and Jimmy wanted to tour. Well, they did want to tour, and I was kind of on the fence about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I kind of came around. I started seeing the reaction to the band. I was like, all right, cool. There's something here. People are into it. And so it just kind of went from there. But, man, you just, you have to do like what's in your heart and what is right for you. And it may not be right for everybody else. And, not everybody's going to like it no matter what you do. And that's fine, man. We just, our whole thing was, let's just do this. Let's write songs, play music, have fun. And that's it, man. And, here we are almost 6 years later. We've been all over the U.S. We've opened for so many fucking bands. We've toured Europe twice. We're getting ready to go back again twice this year already. And, our albums have done well, and we've gotten press in like fucking some of the biggest magazines across Europe,
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it turned into way more than we ever like expected it to the day I walked into that room.
Right.
So, we're just having fun with it, man. And that's really all that you can, ask for. And we've just, some of our fans, they travel so far to see us. Like, we have one fan that's been to like 10 different states to see us.
See, and that's fucking great, because, with my band, I always say, it's no fun being the old guy on the block. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, even in the genre of music that my band plays, being just like roots rock,
mm-hmm.
like we're the fucking dads and mom of,
Yeah.
And so in a whole young scene. And so it's like,
yeah. I mean, you have to, the thing is, it's like, you have to know what your audience is.
Oh, absolutely.
We are not going to go out and try and sell this band to a bunch of teenagers and a bunch of 20 somethings. We do have teenage fans and we do have 20 something fans,
right.
But their parents were into Guns N' Roses, so they discovered the music like through their parents and they're into it. Our fan base is older and that's who we kind of like market it to. So, you get bands coming out now, like, we'll use Greta Van Fleet, for example, and love them or hate them, they're young kids or young guys playing rock music, but they're young, man, but their fans are not like their age,
right?
Generally,
yeah.
So, us being older doing this, it may have hindered us in some ways to some people that may not be interested,
Mm-hmm.
in some ways it hasn't, you know. And I, you know, I always use this example, like when we're, when we play stuff in the U.S., like we've played with Pop Evil and Nonpoint and some bands like that
that have a generally younger draw, you know.
Yeah, they have a generally younger draw, and we've gone over well for the most part with those crowds. Mm-hmm. But in the U.S., mainly we play with, you know, a lot of the 80s bands. And, you know, one thing that we said to ourselves was, we're not going to limit ourselves to who we want to open up for. You know, it doesn't matter if it's like a you know, a Pop Evil or a whoever, or if it's a, you know,
Warrant.
Skid Row, you know, or Warrant.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're just, if there's a rock fan there, let's go fucking get in front of it and play and just have fun. And what happens, happens. And that's kind of always been our approach. Now, when we go, when we play shows in Europe, man, we've been on bills with like straight metal bands, and the crowd's like, loves us. So we walk in and we're like, oh, you know, we see some of these people and we're like, holy shit, like they're not gonna fucking like us. This dude looks like he's into like Deicide or something. And, you know, with the fucking, you know, but dude, they love it. They love it.
It's funny because to kind of echo something I had talked to somebody else in an interview, is it metal fans are like the most surprisingly open-minded. I mean, you do get your share of kind of meathead, like, you know, real metal or die or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I have friends who are like fucking ape shit about Cannibal Corpse and Carcass, mm-hmm. and, you know, and fucking Deicide or whatever. But then they'll turn around and say, I fucking love Sammy Hagar. You know, or I love LA Guns, because I think that there's a common thread in there, is that even on certain levels of heaviness, mm-hmm. it still kind of tugs at that heartstring that mm-hmm. it's that it's like, whether it's heavy or whether it's attitude or just the broadness in general of hard rock and metal, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, like if I want to listen to something fun and something kind of carefree and that's kind of mindless, you know, no insult made there, like I'll throw like the first Warrant record, but if I want to hear something that's really gonna fucking pump me up, man, like I'm gonna listen to, like, you know, Show No Mercy or, you know, mm-hmm. Carcass's Heartwork. So I can cover anything in between.
Man, to me music is about like honesty. And it doesn't matter. I love music from all genres, and I love metal, and I know
you're one of the biggest Slayer fans I know, by the way.
I fucking love Slayer. I love Slayer. And I think you hate them, don't you?
To me, Slayer has always been one of those bands that, like, every time I've seen Slayer, I walked out and I said, wow, that was Slayer, man.
You know, Slayer. Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
I mean, so it's not like it's like bad, but I always just thought that Slayer was kind of like white bread. It's like, it's just consistently good, but it never blows me away.
I love Slayer. I've been a fan since I was like in my early teens, and they've just, to me, when it came to that era of like thrash metal, like, to me, they were like the fucking best that did it. You know, it was like, in the beginning they sounded, you know, it was obvious that they were like big Venom fans, but you know, they progressed into more of their own sound later on.
That scream, by the way, in Angel of Death is fucking ungodly, man.
Yeah. But I just love them. And man, I also love glam. You know, I love bands like Poison and all of that kind of stuff. And like older Bon Jovi, and I loved that stuff. And in high school, my friends were like, I would wear a Bon Jovi shirt to school one day and a Slayer like Hell Awaits shirt, and they were like, what the fuck is this, dude? You got to pick a side. And I never thought of it that way, you know? So to me, it's like, as long as the music is real and it's honest and it's, people are doing it because it's something that they believe in and that they love, I think people will accept that generally, if we were to try and go out and like try and sound like, you know, fuck, I don't know, Shinedown or something like that.
Right.
It's like, I'm not even that familiar with that genre. It would come across so phony and so pretentious and so that people just wouldn't buy into it. You know, and what we do, like it or not, it's who we are. It's what we do. And, you know, it's work for us, man. It's just, you know, people like it. And then,
I mean,
you know,
essentially,
some people hate it, and yeah, you know, and that's fine.
I mean, essentially, you're playing the music that you grew up playing, but mm-hmm. you're still playing it as an older mm-hmm. person, you know, yeah. and which is, you know, kind of, you know, like, you know, I grew up playing metal. So, but yeah. if I would have kept playing metal, mm-hmm. I'd still be playing metal at 45. So to me, yeah. that's not like a ridiculous yeah. concept at all, you know, but mm-hmm. what I do like what you said was that you're just talking about the overall like genres, you know, mm-hmm. like people always go, oh, Don hates death metal. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't hate death metal because you know yeah. what? Like Carcass's Heartwork album and, you know, Covenant by Morbid Angel are two of my favorite records. And those are mm-hmm. death metal bands. And yeah. but then they'll say, oh, but Don loves all those sleaze bands. And I'm like, well, yeah. you know what? I love Circus of Power and I love yeah, Junkyard, yeah. but I don't like yeah. LA Guns. So yeah. it's not, you know, it's like you said, it has nothing to do with the genre. It's how mm-hmm. good is the band to me? What are yep. they giving me or mm-hmm. pulling me into? And yeah. if it's good, you know, I love it.
Man, to me, I look at things, I look at this a little bit different than everyone mm-hmm. else. But to me, growing up, I loved things that were like just completely over the top. Like I love like I love the music. Obviously, the bands have got to be good. But I loved the theatrics and I loved the like the chaos kind of aspect that came with music. And anything that made my mom go, what the fuck is that? I generally was kind of into it. And to me, that didn't matter if it was a band like Poison or Pretty Boy Floyd or whatever that just looked like chicks and played more of a poppy kind of hard rock, or if it were like, you know, Slayer or, you know, even, you know, just Anthrax and it's all the old bands. And they just were, it was just like outrageous. Because
right.
that stuff at that time was outrageous, you know, whether it was, you know, take the image per se out of it, I guess. You know, you got bands like Poison that were just completely over the top image wise.
Right.
And then you have bands like Slayer who were just completely over the top, even though they were still, I mean, you had Kerry King with the, you know, big studded bracelets and all that kind of shit. But you know, a lot of the thrash bands were essentially jeans and t-shirt bands, but what they were doing musically was just completely over the top. And, you know, they were all trying to like outdo each other with who could play the fastest and the loudest and the heaviest and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
And some of that was, it kind of got a little bit ridiculous there for a little bit, but I still loved a lot of it. And I just loved anything that was just like big and over the top, whether it was musically, image wise, whatever, you know. So I just, you know, that's just kind of how I looked at it. And everybody that I knew wanted to nitpick it down into like genres.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sub genres. And it's like, okay, well, this is rock. I like rock. I like,
right.
you know, Circus of Power and Junkyard, but I don't like, you know, whoever. You know,
yeah.
I don't like, you know. And it's like, it started getting so like people just like pigeonholing things in these little categories. And to me, if it's like it was a good band, it was a good band. You know, first and foremost, it was like I was saying, the music has to be good and the songs have to be good, you know. But I mean, there were a lot of bands that were just like, you know, they may have looked cool. I mean, if you were into glam back then and they had a cool look, but man, the music was terrible.
Right.
You know, so there was a lot of that. There was a lot of like people trying,
Well, sometimes the, like you said, the image was so overblown that sometimes it overshadowed the actual, like,
it did.
The talent of the band.
Yeah.
And I always think, you know, I always think a prime example for me would be like the debut Wasp album. I just remember my dad hated that fucking record. He just thought they were terrible because I brought the record home and he looked at it and he goes, I sure as hell hope they don't sound like they look. And I put it on. He goes, yep, they do. You're taking that back, you know, but like it was funny. But like when I listen to that album now, if I didn't know what they looked like, they could have been a fucking sleazy New York band in jeans and t-shirts with a bunch of attitude, you know? I don't know that I would have pictured fire and flames and things like that, you know? So, but anyway, so you guys are going to be on the second night of the Rocklanta Festival again. I know that's going to be a fun night. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of you guys and not feeling threatened.
No, don't feel threatened. It's cool. We're not going to corner you and like kick your ass or
now, if you want to corner me and like give me like a Diet Coke, that'd be great, you know.
Okay, but,
like,
okay. I'm gonna buy you a Diet Coke. I might do that. I won't throw it on you.
You won't throw it on me. Like well, look, man, it's been great talking to you, and I'm super proud of you guys. And if anyone wants to learn a little more about Kickin' Valentina, they can go to www.kickinvalentina.com, and they can also find you on the Facebooks and on the Twitters under Kickin' Valentina. So, Chris, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to do this. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on the 30th.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on here. I never thought I'd be on your podcast, but I feel honored now. seriously, thank you for taking the time to do this, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Anytime, man. And like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys.
Yeah, thank you.